seated. I'm glad we can send the light, that glorious message of salvation, to a lost and dying world. And the light comes to give knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of the Savior, so that people can come to know Him and go to heaven when life is over. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we support missions, that they tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would tonight, take your Bibles. We're again in the book of the Revelation, in chapter number 18. This has been a long series of messages, longer than I intended for it to be. We started back about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and then I had that three-month interval there that I wasn't able to do any talking. So it's been sort of drawn out, and then we've missed some Sunday nights for different reasons and different things. And so tonight we're in chapter number 18. I'm looking forward to get to chapter 19. Chapter 19 is the glory chapter. It's the chapter that gives you some good things. We have been in the Revelation all these months, and we haven't seen a whole lot of anything that's been good. It's the judgment of God upon a people, upon a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a world that is a religious world, but yet it's a lost world. And we come last time, Sunday week ago, we were in chapter number 17, and we have the words there concerning Mystery Babylon. And Babylon is a system. It's not just one particular thing, but it is a system of economy and religion and all of it, all mixed in together. And it has never been good. Never has it been anything that is wholesome to the child of God. And we continue on in chapter number 18. It says, "And after these things." So the things that we've spoke of there in chapter 17, how that they made war with the Lord and the Lord prevailed over them. That's a wonderful verse there in verse 14 of chapter 17. Says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them." That's a very positive statement, that the Lamb of God will overcome. He will be the victor, and He will have victory. And it says, "The Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." After these things, we find in verse 1, John says, "I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Here we find tonight that Babylon is not only a religious system, but it also describes here a political and a commercial system that is active in the world during the time of the Antichrist, that he will have much control of that. And so tonight we'll be looking in chapter number 18, and we find the collapse of the world system that that is given to us. Much of the world tonight is intertwined. You can't hardly do anything anymore in America that's not affected by other things around the world. We have this world is so intertwined to each other that it affects everything, has a cause and effect upon us. And we come to this chapter. Here the scripture says Babylon the Great is fallen. Not just one time, it is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. And so tonight we're going to look at this collapse that is given to us here in chapter 18. And there's some different views of Babylon. And we have a physical view, an angelic view of what Babylon is all about. But here we have the announcement of the judgment of God upon this system that has always been against God. The Bible tells us here that John, he is writing these things. We've mentioned this many times. The book of the Revelation is a revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as most of our Bibles have at the very beginning of the book, but the revelation is the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is revealed through His churches in the first two or three chapters, and then He is revealed from chapter 4 verse on in the judgment that comes upon this world because of their rejection. And here we find John is writing these things down. He sees things that he does not, I'm sure, he does not understand, but he writes them down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God gave him the words to write, and he wrote them down. We have them revealed and given to us, preserved to us in our Bibles, and John sees these things that are yet in the future for us. We have a problem understanding everything in Revelation. Can you imagine how John must have felt when he wrote some of these words and some of these things that he had never heard of, but he writes it down under the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. And so he says, when these things have taken place in chapter 17, that's not the end of it. Babylon, there's another facet. There's another tentacle. There's another arm of Babylon. And he says, I saw another angel come down. And this angel has great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, many times in the Scripture, and especially in the Revelation, when you read the little phrase, another angel, it usually means the Lord Jesus Christ. It usually has the connotation or the meaning that it's not an angel, but it is the power of God, or it is the Son of God. And so this another angel comes, and I believe is the Lord, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen. The world system that has been so great, another angel comes with power. He comes with the brilliance, and the entire earth is lightened by his presence. And he makes a proclamation, Babylon is fallen. The identity of Babylon is given to us in other places of the Scripture. And he gives us here where he comes to now in these last few chapters. He tells us here that it's the habitation of devils, or it's the place of demonology. It's a place where demons have activity, and they are unclean and unclean spirits. And the Bible uses the term a hateful bird and a foul spirit. And the parables recorded in Matthew chapter 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, the birds are always symbolically a symbol of Satan. And so here's the habitation. Here's what he is dealing with. He's dealing with a system. He's dealing with a city. He's dealing with a, we noticed last time, he's dealing with a religious organization that is full of idolatry, full of hatred, full of deceit, full of demons. And now this other angel comes along and makes the pronouncement that it has fallen, that it is going to be gone. It's going to be taken out of existence. Even though it is the place of habitation of these wicked things, and the nations have drunk of the fornication and the wine of the wrath of this particular place known as Babylon, the kings of the earth, the Scripture says, have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. So we're dealing with the merchandise, we're dealing with merchants, we're dealing with that which has to do with commerce. And the Lord says that Babylon is fallen, it is gone, it's going to be out of existence. Now, it's much in existence tonight. We may not call it Babylon, we may not recognize it as Babylon, but it is the system of Babylonian works and the way that has been given to us in the Scripture. The extent of Babylon's influence, it has wooed and won the influence through her flirtations. Nations have become rich through dealing with ungodliness, and the Lord says it's going to fall. The Lord gives it to us here as it is fallen presently. We know it's still yet future, but when John wrote that, he sees that it has already fallen. And he says, I heard another voice, verse 4, from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. You know, there's an appeal here to God's people. Even in the tribulation, there are some God's people. There are those that are born again during this period of time. And the Lord says, come out of this place, this system that is so wicked and so ungodly. Come out of her and not be a partaker. God's people have always been told to be a separated people. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be like the world around us. We're to be different. And the scripture tells us that we are a peculiar people. And the world looks at us tonight and hears us talk and hears our thoughts on certain things of life. And they think we are peculiar. They think we are so very different. And we're supposed to be that way. And the Lord has always had a clear call that His people are to be separated from ungodliness and worldliness and the troubles of this world. And so here in this period of time, the tribulation saints are warned to come out of this economic system and this political system that is so ungodly. And God has a plan and always has had a plan through the ages that we're not to be a part of Babylon. The system here that's before us is very, very wicked and very ungodly. By the wording, you can tell it's a place of devils, demons, foul spirits, unclean, hateful birds. Nations are drunk on the wine of her wrath, the fornication. They've committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich. The number one thing today in our society is how much can I gain? Doesn't matter how I get it, doesn't matter how I obtain the riches, just as long as I get more than I've had before. And here Babylon offers that in this particular time, but God says to His people, come out. In the New Testament, He says, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord. We are to be a different people. All through the Old Testament, God has always called for a people to be separated in their age in which they live. If you turn back to Genesis 12, verse number 1, you'll find that God told Abraham to get out of his place of living, his kindred. He says, leave Ur of the Chaldees. He tells us in Genesis chapter 19, He tells Lot to get out of Sodom. God always tells His people to get out where there's where there's wickedness. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 48. We read this this term Babylon in the New Testament, but it's used many times also in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 20, the scripture says, go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed His servant Jacob. Get out of Babylon. Turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 50 and verse number 8. The Lord says in verse 6, my people hath been a lost sheep. Verse number 8, He says, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the goats before the flock. The Lord tells His people to get out of this system called Babylon. In Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse number 6, chapter 51 verse number 6, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. So here the Lord tells His people to get out of Babylon in the Old Testament. Chapter number 51, verse number 45. Again, it gives to us, my people, go ye out of the midst of her and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And He's talking there about that system that we know of and called Babylon. So His appeal to God's people to be separate, I believe that appeal is still very active and very true to you and I. In the New Testament, we are told that we are to be a separated people. Now, the stones back in the book of Genesis, when they came together and they were said they were building a tower that would reach to the heavens, their stones did not reach to heaven, but her sins did. And from that point on, Babylon has been, and the system of Babylon has been anti-God, anti-Christian, and has always been foreign to the things of the Lord. It's a system that will be destroyed religiously, and we read about in chapter number 17. We looked at chapter 17, and the best you can tell, it is a religious system that is so very anti-Christian, anti-God, and has permeated the world and is everywhere. And her sins continue on. We see now in chapter 17, God destroying the religious system. In chapter number 18, we see God destroying the political and the economic system, the collapse that will come in one day. It will take place in the space of an hour. Look at verse number 10. We'll skip down there. Verse number 9 of Revelation 18. It says, "The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Stand afar off for the fear of the torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." In 1 hour thy judgment come. Look at verse number 17. "For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught." Verse number 19, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein we made were made rich, all that that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Here is the collapse of the world's economic system in just one particular hour. God can do as He so pleases and do as He chooses to do. And we're getting ready now to get into chapter 19, and we're going to see the joy, the other side of the coin. And so this system is destroyed. God is going to bring judgment upon Babylon, and suddenly Babylon is gone. Alas, it is not there, that which is told us here that made them rich, the merchants that were made rich. In verse we read verse 9. Look at verse number 11. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and the beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. These things come to naught." All of these things are destroyed. That's the humanistic view, or the human view of what takes place. System of economics is gone in 1 hour. If tonight, if the, whatever they call their stock market in China or Japan, if it crashes, you know what happens to America tomorrow? It crashes also. It has problems. All of it is so intertwined, and all of it is so much together. But here the Lord says, they stand afar off, and they fear the torment that comes, and the merchants of the earth shall weep. This world is built upon a system of merchandise. Buying, selling, trading, giving, going. Everything is merchandise. Well, in this 1 hour, God's going to bring it all to naught. And the system that we see around us, and the system that is even before us, is going to be destroyed by the power of this mighty angel that comes, and he that lights the whole earth with his glory. And it's amazing here, all the things that are mentioned. And it tells us here that the merchants, they're going to weep and mourn because they can't buy anymore. They can't merchandise. They can't have their goods any longer. And they're not able to buy and not able to sell. And then that chapter, verse 12 and 13, gives you all those different things that are so very affected by the merchants that are destroyed. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, and the list goes on and on and on in those two verses. But you notice the last thing, it's the merchandise of the souls of men. Men have literally sold their souls for the goods of this world. The Bible asks the question in the New Testament, what will a man give in exchange for his soul. The soul has been traded very, very cheaply by some people just in order to have the gain. And so chapter 18 gives you a very bleak look at what's going to take place. This world system that we know of tonight, one day it's going to be gone. It's going to be over because the King of Kings is getting ready to set up his throne, his kingdom. And so you'll notice in these last verses of chapter number 18, the Bible, after all these things have taken place, verse 19, they cast dust on their heads and they cried, they weep, they wail. Alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that the ships and the seas by reason of costliness, for in 1 hour is made desolate. Verse 20, the first word says, rejoice. Someone said, that's sort of a strange place to be rejoicing. Well, it's not when you know what the Lord's doing, and he's taking care and judging this world and going to have power. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you of her. It is God that destroys wickedness. We read this morning in Genesis chapter number 6 that God looked down upon mankind and he saw only evil continually. It continues on all the way through every generation, our generation and the generation that is to come and the generation that will be here in chapter 18. All of those things are wicked and the wickedness is so great. And now he says, the Lord hath avenged you of her. It is God bringing judgment upon sin. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Those pretty explicit words, pretty strong words. She'll be found no more at all. Look in verse number 22. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard and no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more, no more at all. God's bringing total destruction upon this place called Babylon. Not only is it a city, not only is it a religious system, but it is a political and an economic system, and all of it's going to crash, all of it's going down to naught. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Can you imagine how great some people think they are tonight? And in 1 hour, everything they have will be gone. All the riches, all the goods that they might have brought unto themselves, it will be gone, for God brings judgment. And the merchants, great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. We identified last week that system of religion that is so very anti-God and how it covers the entire world and has so many tentacles reaching out and taking over. And within this place, this thing called Babylon, the Bible says in her was found the blood of the prophets. Who's killed more prophets than anyone? It's religion. Not only the blood of the prophets, but of the saints and of all them that were slain upon the earth. Babylon is guilty of atrocities. Babylon is guilty of sin against God. And God says, enough is enough. God says, in 1 hour, it's all going to be over. I want to just read a few verses, a few things here in chapter 19. Chapter 18 is bleak. Chapter 18 is very, very hard to understand the tragedies that takes place. And notice chapter 18 starts out with after these things. Chapter 19 starts out and after these things. When it's all said and done, when the Lord has His say, and He brings vengeance upon this earth, there's a lot of places we could go tonight to see how God does that, how He brings vengeance. He says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Where are they? In heaven. And what do they say? Hallelujah. They see the judgment of God. Remember back a few chapters ago, I forget, it's been so many months back, that there were souls under the altar there in heaven. And they said, Lord, how long until You avenge our blood? It's almost like they're anxious to see God bring judgment upon wickedness. Well, here they see it. And they cry in heaven, they with a loud voice, and they say the word, Alleluia, or we would say, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Babylon is no more. That ungodly system, that ungodly religion, that ungodliness that's around everywhere has been defeated now. And in heaven there's a great shout of joy and saying hallelujah because of the great God and the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. Religion has been the greatest perpetrator of killing of righteousness of any place in this world. The system of Babylon has totally tried to wipe out Christianity. That's why you had the Great Inquisition. It was against religious. It was against people that love God. And now they come to their final say. And heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is saying hallelujah, salvation, because that great whore, that one that has sold herself in order to have the goods of this world and have the prestige of this world, now she is defeated, she is destroyed, and the blood of the servants has been, their death has been avenged. Verse 3, and again they say hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and forever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts. We've read about them from the very beginning, chapter number 5. The 24 elders that represent all of the saved from every generation. They now are here at the very end of these words. And they fall down and they worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a time of rejoicing for the child of God when we see the redeemed there in the presence of the Lord, and we understand that ungodliness has been put down. The voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Rejoicing in heaven, turmoil, rejection, destruction, annihilation upon this earth. But God has His last say, and God has the last judgment. And now those that are gathered in heaven, redeemed of all the ages, they rejoice that ungodliness has been put down. And these verses, we'll look at them in a little more detail next week. We'll see these things again. But they have, those are the 4 hallelujahs there in the Revelation. And it's because that great city system, Babylon, is gone. Has been a problem ever since they rose up to try to build a tower to reach heaven. They've been a thorn in the flesh of God's people from that time until this last time. And God brings them to judgment, brings them to a conclusion, and the redeemed of all the ages, They just say simply, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God one day he's going to have judgment. He's going to have total victory. But until then, we're to tell people, because in order for them to be in heaven rejoicing and not here suffering, is that they must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are given the time, opportunity now, and we're to tell the world that Jesus saves, so that one day they shall be with him and rejoice together with you and I that are the redeemed. Let's stand together.